We welcome each and every one of us into this worship service. And if you're yet at the back, we just welcome you to come on in and find a place as we join in the service of celebration, of praise, of thanksgiving. The scripture that we have been focusing on for this service is about the unexpected. And unexpected happen in our lives, and this morning we also experience here unexpected. Our pastor is ill. He's not here. So as we've learned this, I learned it at about noon yesterday, we've done some thinking, how do we do things? And so there, the message time, there is opportunity for any of us. We've talked to a few to be thinking. But for any of us to tell an experience, a memory, something that has lingered with you, that has been an insight, touched you deeply in your own heart and soul at Christmas time. So I wanted you to know that at this point, that as we worship this morning, you might be feeling that you need to share. God is asking you to share this thing that has been on your own heart. We will then call to worship, Alta and I together here. Come, let us worship in faith the God who is here and desires our worship. Redeeming God, work in our hearts that our worship be filled with your redeeming love.
When Mary was sent away, she found an embrace in your arms.
When we feel isolated by the world, we find security in your kingdom.
The world does not see us as the Lord does.
They do not value us as the eternal one does.
The world cannot love us like the Lord does.
They do not honor us as our Creator does. When others abandon us, God makes a home.
Let us pray. You are our loving and gracious God. You've come to make your home among us and even within us. And here in our gathering this day, we long to know your presence and we seek your blessing as we give praise and thanksgiving, all because of Jesus. Amen. Our symphony orchestra this morning.
Thank you. reverse from the bulletin. Turn to number 178. We'll do 178 first.
Thank you.
Would our ushers come forward as we receive our offering at this time? Let's pray. It's at this Christmas time we're so filled with gratitude for the gift of Jesus. God with us, God around us. Take these tokens of our thankfulness, bless them, multiply them for your kingdom, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Thank you, Ian. The children, would you come? Yes, would the children come?
Good morning. How are you all? Good. How'd you like the music this morning? It was great, wasn't it? Do you know this song? I'm dreaming of a wet Christmas.
Why?
Just like the ones we used to know, where the treetops glisten. And children listen to hear earthworms in the mud.
No!
No! There you got it. You got it right. I didn't have it right. But it's so warm. It didn't seem like Christmas to me at all until last night and a bunch of us came here and we sang the Messiah. Boy, that brought Christmas for me. That was great. This is the fourth Sunday of Advent. Not everything is great? Really? Snakes aren't great. Well, that's probably right. But there are enough great things that keeps us happy. This is the fourth Sunday of Advent. Do you remember all the Sundays before, the things we talked about? Remember the first Sunday? We talked about two great big words, Revelation and Apocalypse. That's right. What do those things mean? Do you remember? It's like discovery, right? Yeah. It's like when you're playing hide and seek and you find someone and you say, aha, that's Apocalypse. That's Revelation. And then we talked about waiting, right? Are you waiting still? How much longer do we wait? 3 or 4? 3 days. Yes, indeed. We don't have much longer to wait. Then we talked about joy. Remember that? And who was joyful in that story? Remember? Elizabeth. Elizabeth, an older lady who had always wanted to have children, but couldn't have children. And then an angel came and told her husband that they were going to have a child. And he said, that's not possible. We're old. And the angel said, what? You won't be able to speak until that child is born. So he went for almost a year without being able to speak. And then the baby boy was born. His name was John. Today we're going to talk about love. Do you know anything about love? We love who? You love me? What? That's cool. That's great. Who loves you most? Think about that. Who loves you most? God loves you most. Okay, that's true.
And your mom and dad love you.
Mom and dad's and grandmas and grandpas.
Yeah, because my grandma and grandma's tree is filled with presents. We don't know how much there is because there's so much of them. I saw a huge one for me and it looks like a pogo.
Really? That is surely about love, right? Yes. Okay. Hey, there is an envelope in that tree. You want to look there and see if you can find it? Let's see. What does it say on the front? It says Children of Zion? Let's look at it. Shall we open it?
Yeah.
To the Children of Zion, it says. You want to open it? Whoa, what is it?
Money?
It looks... It's not money. It's a card. It's a card. It's got some holly on the front and a star. And there's a letter. Christmas letter. You want to hear it? You want to hear the Christmas letter? This is the Christmas letter to the Children of Zion. Listen. My dear children, let's not just talk about love. Let's do real love. How do you do love? You do loving things for people, don't you? Loving is the way we know that God is real and that we are really living. It's also the way we can keep from feeling bad about ourselves. God really knows us even better than we know ourselves. My little friends, when we quit feeling bad about ourselves, we can be brave and happy with each other and with God. Then we're able to reach out and take the gifts that God holds out to us. Is that sort of like Christmas? God gives us gifts? Yes, indeed. God wants us to know Jesus and to love each other. That's what God really wants most of all. When we love God and are kind and loving to each other, then we know that God is right here with us. And then it says, with love from God. How about that? A card and a letter from God to you. Okay, let's put some more people in the nativity scene. These are people that love Jesus. Let's see. I think they may be shepherds or maybe angels without wings. Well, we have an angel up there with wings. Let's put these three up there. They're people who are going to love Jesus when he's born.
I want to put one up.
Well, they're just three. I'm sorry. You could go pick one up and put it back. You want to do that?
Put one on top of that little thing.
Okay, that looks really good. Now we have candle lighting to do. And Josiah and Liliana. Josiah and Liliana are going to help. Okay? So Lily's going to sit here, and she's going to read. And you can all gather around and watch as Josiah lights. You want to stand up on this? Why don't you step up there?
We trust in God and God's extravagant love. We light the first three Advent candles, the candle of hope, peace, and joy. As we light the fourth candle of love, we open our hearts to God's love. It waits to fill our hearts that may be signs of God's extravagant love for the whole world. We trust in God's extravagant love. Amen.
Oh, that you would reveal your love as the theme. Let's turn to number 44 and sing the journey. The love of God. And please stand if you're able.
Thank you.
One of the hymnals that I grew up with as a child had a little line at the bottom of that song saying, the last verse were found pinned on a wall of a prison cell. I've not found that in any of their books, so I don't know if it's true or not, but as a child, it caught my imagination because of the picturesque images, thinking of the sky as a parchment, and all the world had an inkwell that we could not exhaust, the love of God. As we come to this time of prayer, of confession, follow with us. Our loving God, today in this place, yet it's safe and it's sacred and it's holy, we become aware of your presence. In your presence, we focus on your church around the world and its story across the centuries of history. We offer confession on her behalf because her story is also our story. At times we, the church, have killed enemies with whose faith or politics we have differed with, instead of loving them. We have been the agents of slavery instead of freeing people to live within your reign of righteousness. We have even perpetuated racism and devalued those who you call your own.
Acted in your name, but we have often failed to reflect your nature.
Most of all, we have failed to demonstrate to all of God's people the boundless love of God in Christ. We confess these heavy sins to you, Lord, knowing we cannot carry the burden of these sins committed in your name. We pray that you would remove the weight of the church's sin from our shoulders.
Restore your love in us, part of your worldwide church. Grant us your expansive love revealed in this holy season.
Restore our love, Lord God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. Let us take a moment to reflect on this. The Lord declares, I will gladly restore my love in you, my never-ending love for you and the church and all peoples. Amen. I discovered Matthew has his pastoral prayer here on the pulpit. I'm going to leave it here and not use it this morning because I think it needs to be his words as well. The scripture is out of Luke. Frank is prepared to read that to us and say a few words about that scripture, and then I will come back and introduce this part of the service that has been selected for Matthew's message for us. And we will have some other words.
Surprise. About a week ago, Pat asked me if I'd read the scripture this morning, and I agreed. It's up here. Yesterday afternoon, she called and asked if I would share a little bit about it, and I'm doing that sort of reluctantly. I do want to share one thing. About a week and a half ago, I had lunch with Matt in his office. The reason I'm sharing that is about 2 months ago, I told Janet, if I don't get a chance to speak again, I'm going to slip something in Matt's coffee. I did not put anything in Matt's coffee, so the record's clear on that. Luke chapter 1, great passage, 26 through 38. Read it with me this morning. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and he said, Hail, O favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at this greeting, and she considered in her mind, What sort of greeting is this? And the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him a throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom, there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no husband?" And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High overshadow you." Wow. "And therefore the child will be born, and he will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, even now your kinswoman Elizabeth in her own age, old age, has conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her that was called barren. For with God nothing is impossible." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of God. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. And as I read this text this week, I thought of nine quick, really pretty miraculous transitions that happen in this text. I'm going to share them with you really quick. First, the intersection of God with man, with Gabriel, with Mary, where he says, "Look, the Lord has noticed you." I'm going to put my glasses back on. I can't see you. He says, "I've noticed you." What an amazing thing when we have an intersection with God. And Mary's response is like our response, like the response of many of the patriarchs in Scripture. She's afraid. She's like, "What? God has noticed me." So this intersection transitions into fear. And right away, God encourages her and said, "It's okay. Don't be afraid. God is on your side. God has noticed you. This is a good thing." And then transition to God's plan for her. God's plan for her is this: you're going to have a son, and he's going to sit on the throne of David forever. And you know, we've heard this story a bunch of times over the Christmas season, but guess what? This is the first time Mary heard this. You know, and we've kind of learned to accept this story, but he's telling her this is going to happen to you. And how does Mary respond? The way we respond, the way the patriarchs responded, she responds with doubt. She's like, "What? I don't have a husband. I've never been with a man. How am I going to conceive?" And you know what doesn't happen now in this part of the story? The angel doesn't go back up to heaven to God and say, I went down to Mary and she's fearful and she's doubtful and she doesn't have any faith. We need to go find ourselves another virgin." That isn't what happens. God reassures her again through Gabriel and says, the fifth transition, here's the plan. Here's how this is going to work. The Spirit of God is going to descend upon you and you are going to conceive in a supernatural way, and this child will be born, and he will be holy, and he will be the Son of God. And along with that plan, he gives her some evidence that this can happen. "Look at your cousin. This has already happened for her. She was barren. Nobody said she could ever have a child. And here she is 6 months along, because nothing is impossible with the plan and the power of God." And you know, all of that story happens all through Scripture with a lot of the saints. But you know what's amazing about Mary? Two things: acceptance, I belong to God. And then after that, obedience. Go ahead, make it so. And so I think wrapped up in the Scripture is a really cool message for us, that God can intersect with us in this season, and that even though we might respond in fear, he'll reassure us and love us. And even though we may doubt what his plan is for us in this season, we can do it through his plan and his power, because nothing is impossible for him. And then we can simply accept his love and respond with obedience. So that's it for me this morning, other than I'd like to pray for just a bit. God, I pray this morning that this season and all the seasons to come, that you would intersect with us where we are. that you would help replace our fears and our doubts with faith and with hope and with reassurance and obedience to you. Amen.
I find that passage in Luke has spoken to me many times over the years. And so we want to open the kind of opportunity for any of us to respond to the scripture, to a reflection of what has become deep within yourself of Christmas. And if you have been spoken to earlier, perhaps you want to come to a bench up front and be ready here. Let me share just something that remains in my own thinking over the past number of years that made Christmas one year of a reflection that I had not caught in a new way. I find in the Christmas music deep, deep truths of theology, of doctrine, simply knowing who is Christ. Sometime in the early 70s, I was leading a women's Bible study in Woodburn, and I've tried to remember who all was sitting around the table, but we were about six or seven women, and it was a 16-week study in the Gospel of Mark that we ended in December before Christmas. And as we came to December, most of us are young mothers. We have children of various ages. And Christmas is a busy time with decorating and baking and gift buying and gatherings and so on. And so we were thinking of many things, but we're also studying the life of Jesus as Mark brings to a close the life of Jesus with that last week of the conflicts that Jesus had in the temple with the religious leaders, leading to Jesus' arrest and his crucifixion. And at the same time, we're all excited about the coming of this new baby who is to be the Christ. And putting those two great themes, the incarnation of God, to the salvation and the redemption, the love of God, brought to me an opening of the story of Christmas that I treasure so much. In my memory, it seemed to me that we had received a Christmas card sometime in my childhood that showed that Bethlehem scene of the Nativity with the shadow of a cross over it. I've never seen one since. I don't know if it was my imagination or it really was one. But that was what was fixed. The coming of the incarnation of Christ and God's redemption for us. That is a memory of Christmas that I will hold, that has made it dear. So I invite you. We do have a microphone if you want to raise your hand, but I know that there's at least one and maybe two people who are ready to share some that they have been thinking about in the last, not quite 24 hours.
I guess I'm that one person. Lynn called us last night and asked us if we'd share something about our experiences overseas at Christmas. And we said we'd think about it a little bit. I'm an elder here, and I didn't feel like I could tell him no. And Eric said, I'm not an elder, and I can tell him no. So here I am. And so frantically, we were looking for our old journals and things to jog our memories, because it's been 8 years since we've spent a Christmas in Ecuador. So it was good to read some of those stories and reacquaint ourselves. ourselves with them. And I think I just want to share this morning a little bit about how what we read in children's stories these days about Christmas and what we get from our media is Christmas is about family. And I don't think that's much of what we've talked about so far this morning is about Christmas being family. And so I'm questioning. And I'm thinking about our first experience with Christmas overseas. And it was the first experience we had being away from family. We had to plan our own Christmas. We had to come up with our own traditions. We had to, we didn't have three meals to go to that week to celebrate with different families. And we didn't have a bunch of people to buy Christmas gifts for and Christmas gift exchanges and all that stuff. So it was a very different experience for us. And we were living in Celadas in a little pueblo. And we went to Quito to spend Christmas days with the Colombian volunteer there, Liliana. And we remembered together having a family experience there with two Colombian refugee families, two women and their children, and Liliana. And we celebrated Colombian style, making buñuelos together all day, and natilla, and different Colombian foods. And then spent the evening building a creche together. And they don't just do a little manger scene like this. It's an elaborate thing with, you know, green carpet that's grass, and we have the shepherds over here and the stable and everything. And so I just thought about that, how here we were, all people who were foreigners to this land that we were in, Ecuador, celebrating together the coming of our Lord. And we were family, and none of us looked like one another, and we didn't speak one another's languages, and we had different traditions and things that went along with it. And here we are celebrating together as a family, but not a biological family, not a national family. We were the family of God together. And we were gathering around this the coming of the incarnate Christ. And that was a really good experience. The other just kind of funny experience we had in Cebadas when we were celebrating, you wouldn't have even known it was Christmas in Cebadas. They had escaped so far all the commercialization, the lights, the bling, and all that stuff. We didn't talk about it in church, nothing. There was no Advent celebration, nothing. And then all of a sudden, a few days before Christmas, the director of the school said, "We got to go Christmas shopping." So we spent, you know, here we spend 12 weeks Christmas shopping. They spend 12 hours. So we drove into town, earliest bus we could get at 6 o'clock in the morning, didn't get back till after 9 that night. We got on the bus at 7 and got home about 9. And we bought all the kids in our school. We got them one gift each. And they all got the same gift. If they were a girl, they got a doll. And if they're a boy, they got a little car. I remember passing out those gifts to those kids and never seeing a happier kid in my life. And they all got the same thing. And I'm sure all the dolls were paraplegics and all the cars were without wheels the next morning. But they were so happy to get that one gift. And I don't know. I'll never forget that experience. So that's what I have.
When Pat called me yesterday, the one experience that I think of at Christmas time that I usually go back to when I think of a Christmas I remember, because I don't remember details of very many Christmas, the specifics of details, but when I was a student nurse and working at Children's Hospital in Washington, D.C., I worked Christmas Day one, the December I was there. And I was caring for a child with a terminal illness. I think he's about between 3 and 6 years old. And the only picture I have in my mind, I don't remember any other events of that day, was standing by this child's bed, and there was a group of carolers that came and sang outside the hospital. So to me, that was not necessarily a celebration of Christmas, but experiencing the joy of Christmas.
Alta will bring a mic if you want to raise your hand to share. Perhaps there is a Christmas song, a carol that has spoken deeply to you. Louise would be ready to lead that. Or perhaps there are some poems, something that has spoken that has remained in your memory over years. So indicate that there is something that is resting on your mind right now to share.
Was not asked to come up here.
I just offered the invitation.
Yes, okay. Sometimes the Christmas season is not quite as joyful. And I've had a real tough time this year getting with the Christmas thing. I'll give you a couple of reasons why. First of all, physically, things aren't going well in my body. I've had a number of pretty invasive doctor's appointments this month, December. Tomorrow I go for a exam on my right knee. On the 30th, they'll be operating on my right knee. So think about your life in this December, going through those things. But on the other hand, there's always the thought in my mind of the Christ that was born, and that supersedes everything that is happening to me or to any of you at this particular time of the year. I was listening to the words of "It Came Upon a Midnight Clear." I'd like to read to you the third verse of that song. It says, "Yet with the woes of sin and strife, the world has suffered long. Not me, not Zion, not you. The world has suffered long. Beneath the heavenly hymn have rolled 2,000 years of wrong. And warring humankind hears not the tidings which they bring. Oh, hush the noise and cease your strife, and hear the angels sing." That's a pretty powerful verse right there. And there's something has come to my mind about what's happening in our world. As the ISIS group continues to slaughter Americans this time of the, not Americans, Christians this time of the year, they went into a school, and you probably read this, and they massacred 143 school children. They just walked in and killed them. And I read where there were 9 Christian ministers that were murdered. 3,800 and some Christian people were murdered, all at this joyful, wonderful time of the year. And then I saw up here on the overhead the words about how safe a place we're in. We might be, but there are many, many people who are not. And it's been a bit difficult for me to really get a Christmassy feel this year as I read the many things that are going on in our world. So I'd ask that you pray for me physically, pray for my spirit that I can be more joyful at this time of the year, and pray for the rest of the world, because there are many, many tragic
things happening right now. But we're reminded that our Lord is in control of these things, and that Jesus was sent here for a purpose. And just pray for the world. Don't pray for ourselves necessarily. Just pray for the world, because this tremendous things are happening in the world, tremendously violent things. As we sing our Christmas carols, which I love, and we have our Christmas things, and these little children up here are so amazing to watch, that at the same time there are tremendously violent things happening. So pray for the world.
This is Pam. I was just hoping we could sing O Come All Ye Faithful. It's in the blue hymnal, number 212.
Favorite Christmas. I don't know if it was favorite. 1970, we just moved out to 91 and we're getting acquainted with the church neighbors. And Christmas Eve, Dad had to run to town about 6 o'clock to buy a roof TV antenna for his dad, and left, 5 or 6. come back and was taking longer, and Twyla called, Twyla Krupp, our next door neighbor, and she said, I answered the phone. She said, Chris, I don't want to scare you, but I just came back from Woodburn, and down at the corner of Meridian and our road was a really bad-looking accident. And, you know, there was a green van, and, you know, it sure looked like your dad's van. So I said, oh, my gosh. And Mom, of course, we weren't driving yet, none of the three of us kids. And so Mom jumped in the car, and I said, well, Mom, don't go by yourself. So Mom stopped and picked up Twyla in the driveway and went down to the corner. And, of course, this is before cell phones. So we waited, and then we went out on the front porch, and we could hear the ambulance, and we waited. And, 20 minutes or so later, Twyla came back jerking in the driveway because it was a stick shift in Mom's car. And pulled in and came in the house, and her eyes were as big as plates. And my brother and sister and I, you know, greeted her at the door. Well, she didn't want to say how bad it looked. She says, well, I think he's going to be just fine. And she came in and sat with us a while, and we heard the ambulance go by. And time passed, and an hour or so later, we still hadn't heard anything. And one of us called Grandma. So Grandma Pearl came to sit with us, and Twyla went on home since it was Christmas Eve. And finally, I think 2 hours later, Mom called from the hospital and said, well, you know, we're bringing him home. He's going to be fine. One of the other relatives is going to pick them up. But he got home probably about 10 o'clock that night, completely drugged up. As he flew out of the van because he didn't believe in seatbelts, he had basically torn off one of his ears. So it was just the most grotesque, this Frankenstein-looking man. His forehead, he had hit the asphalt on his face and skidded 20, 30 feet. He would just look like a disaster. And the only thing he could say was, ho, 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 Merry Christmas. And then he would doze. And they put him to bed. And all night long, every hour or so, we would hear, ho, ho, ho. Because with a concussion, Mom had to wake him up and check on him. But we were so thankful. Twyla said a prayer with us. We really didn't know her that well, but she sat with us. Our Christmas blessing. The next day, Dad stayed in bed most of that day, too, and the ho-ho-hos became less frequent. But a wonderful Christmas memory when all was said and done. Helpful neighbors, angels watching out, and a wrecked van.
Well, thank you. And perhaps this has begun your thinking, and there are things you want to share with another person. I encourage you to do that. I thought of Harold's words of the world that is in its terrible turmoil, and you can about poke your finger anywhere in the map, and there is turbulence and violent reactions. Very similar to the world that the angel came to Mary. And as she hears the words of the angel and responds with sighing, I am the handmaid of the Lord, let it be. Let that be our kind of response as well. We have a song that begins to reflect those words as well. Louise.
Number 180.
The angel gave me a crown of glory. time for sharing and praying. Alta's going to have a mic in the middle of the building for those in the back part. Before we get to that, permit me to share a few things. A few weeks ago, at dinner for eight at Huckman's house, Carol and her, Clyde, yeah, sorry, just left me. Old age. Anyway, we were there, and they suggested that we say a positive or a negative experience of Christmas. And immediately, two things came to mind. My positive experience was when I was 20 years old and away from family and friends, 2,000 miles away in VS, not able to be with familiar people for Christmas. A very positive thing happened when a local family invited me to be a part of their Christmas. And they even had a stocking with my name on it. And I felt very much a part of their family that year. Very special. The negative was when I was younger. It was the time when I got my last licking. We were in Nebraska visiting relatives, and we were at my Aunt Gertie's house. Yeah, at Aunt Gertie. And I was begging and pleading with Dad that we could get to our gifts. And he kept saying, no, there are more people coming. We have to wait. And I kept bugging, and he said, well, if you don't quit, you're going to go out on the porch. And I didn't quit. And I ended up on the porch. And you can guess what happened. That's not a positive. That was a negative. One time I asked a friend of ours, Paul Vanderveer, who was an old man, even older than I, what he was thankful for. Now, Paul was, in his older age, was a very quiet man, didn't say very many words. His wife was very talkative and jolly, friendly person, but he was real quiet. And Paul's response to me was, he said, I'm thankful that God Almighty came to earth to be my Savior. And that's pretty powerful. God Almighty came to earth to be my Savior. Richard Halvorson says that only God could have thought of Christmas. Think about it. Who would have ever guessed that the God of the universe would become a human being, become one of us? God came to earth to be our Savior. We got our Christmas card from friends in Kansas. On the outside is a doctor holding a newborn. Inside it says, we are astonished at how small God became for our sake. Are you astonished at Christmas, or have you lost the wonder and the astonishment of this whole story and event? Greatest kindness that God could have shown to us was to come meet us. Now, in many other religions, people reach out to God. In Christianity, God reaches down to us. God came down. Last week's Sunday school lesson was on Hebrews 1, where it tells us in the last days God spoke to us through His Son. And then it goes on to say that His Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of His being. We look at Jesus to know what God is like. Reminds me of a story of a little boy that looked up into the sky and asked his mom, is God up there? And she assured him he was. And he said, you know, sure would be nice if God stuck his head out so we could see him. That's what God did when he came to earth. So we could see him. Jesus said, anyone seeing me has seen the Father. That's pretty powerful too. We can see God in Jesus. If you want to know what God says, listen to Jesus. If you want to know how God acts, watch Jesus. Jesus is God. A wonderful expression of God's love to us. He makes God visible. And why did He come? As the card says, for our sake. In fact, the Bible says that. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, He was rich, and yet for our sake He became poor, so that through His poverty we might become rich. For our sake. God Almighty came to earth to be my Savior. Hallelujah. You know, you may have more things that you've thought about that you want to share about Christmas, or maybe there's something else in your heart that you just plan to share this morning. We want to give you an opportunity for that. We'll have a little time of prayer then. Who would like to share?
the bulletin of concerns and needs. Before I go there, I want to give you plenty of time. I see a lot of visitors with us today. We welcome you and happy to have you here. You're welcome to share as well. Thanks, Orville. Anyone else want to share? Certainly this morning we want to remember our pastor, and I understand the Peckys sort of are the weather too, so we'll be praying for them. Their daughters are, I think, as I understood, to arrive tomorrow, so hopefully they'll be feeling better for their visit. We're also very much aware of Joel and Carolyn's situation. Joel under treatment now. We want to hold them up in prayer. Harold has shared this morning his needs, both physically and also for the world. And so we pray for that. There's a note in the bulletin about Bruce Yoder, a mission worker in Burkina Faso. Asked that we pray for him. This is also a time when a lot of people deal with loneliness, discouragement, depression. Even though for many it's a joyful time, it's a time that reminds us of our losses. So we remember you that are particularly dealing with loss. We'll pray about that. Okay, before I pray, anyone want to share yet?
Just thank you, Louise, for the song tonight. I know she picked them really specifically to go with the message. And thank you, Pat, because I've never paid attention to the words in this, the love of God, but I think this is my new favorite verse about the ink. And it's just so beautiful. So thank you.
Two years ago, my family was in Hawaii for Christmas. And so I actually, that morning, Christmas morning, I went swimming in the ocean, which is something I don't know if I'll be able to say again in the future. But that evening, my sister-in-law had a good friend, and she actually wasn't in town, but the family invited us over to celebrate Christmas with them. And it was a really meaningful experience because they kind of welcomed us into their home. They shared some of their intimate traditions with us. They sang songs and some of their traditional songs and had their food and enjoyed a really great fellowship with them. So that was a good Christmas memory for me. And I got to thinking about kind of along the lines of what David was sharing about family and what it means, and thinking about when the wise men, when the wise men and the shepherds came to visit and to give their presents to Jesus. I mean, from Mary's perspective, we think it's all great that they came over and offered their gifts, but from Mary's perspective, these were strangers coming in to share at a pretty intimate, the birth of a child. And if you can imagine, if you or your wife was pregnant, your car broke down on the side of the road, and she gave birth right there, and then a bunch of strangers just happened to pull over and start offering gifts, how would you feel? Would you be, oh, come and celebrate the birth of my child with me, or would you be a little bit fearful about who these people were that were stopping by? So I think that's really, to me, that kind of Christmas meant something different, meant, not just the celebration within my own immediate family, but the offering of the welcoming of strangers into your lives.
Thank you, Joe. We've been reminded of what you said and what others have said this morning, that this is good news to all people,
Almighty God, what a wonderful, wonderful time of the year it is. When we are reminded that you love us so much that you left the glories of heaven to come to earth to be one among us. It is an amazing, amazing story. And you did it for our sake. Thank you, Jesus. May we remember that throughout these days of celebration. May we be reminded often of the one we celebrate and truly worship and celebrate you. Thank you for the words of testimony and sharing that have taken place here today. We miss very much our pastor and Becky. We do hold them up to you and pray that you'll minister to their needs and give them health. But we thank you that you're here among us and you've spoken to us here today. Lord, we pray this morning for Joel and Wander. Just bless him and Carol as they deal with this situation. Give them courage and hope. May your blessing and your presence be with them. Thank you for Harold's testimony, and pray that as he continues to see doctors and looks forward to surgery, that your spirit will bless him. But we also heard from him his concern for many in the world who are suffering violence and oppression, hurting. Lord, our hearts go out to them. We pray again that there will be peace on earth, goodwill among all people. We remember Bruce Yoder, who's serving with our mission network. Give him strength physically and spiritually to minister to the needs of the people around him. I think of those who are dealing with loss and reminded of the absence of loved ones, perhaps, or the changes that have taken place this past year. Lord, bring encouragement and hope. Bring rest and peace, comfort, encouragement. We can pray this because of Jesus. You, Jesus, have made it possible for us to come to the throne of grace. And we have done that now with these needs. And we thank you in the name of Christ. Amen.
Please stand to sing our benediction song, He Came Down, number 31. And sing The Journey, and I'd like us to sing verse 1 at the end again. Repeat verse 1 after we sing the all of verses.
He came down that we might have peace.
join us in the sending benediction. The words of this benediction need expression and emotion more than words, and so Wanda will do that for us. Our souls proclaim the greatness of God.
Our spirits exalt God, our Savior.
In love, the Mighty One has done great deeds
and has filled us with good things.
We depart here in peace to proclaim the greatness of God. Amen. May we go with the greatness.